Welcome, Spartans, to Mission Debrief. We're playing every mission of the mainline Halo video game series in chronological order, discussing our experiences and sprinkling in a little lore along the way. If you'd like to play along and have your thoughts read on the show, email us at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. We'll be playing the Shutdown mission from Halo 4 on the next episode. You can also support the show by visiting Podcast Evolved on Patreon. This episode, we're debriefing the Reclaimer mission from Halo 4. I'm your host, Colin Perkins, alongside David Arnold.
Hello, everybody.
And Krista Brown.
You know, Chief and Jack Bauer have a lot in common.
Yeah, and you'll find out at the end of this mission.
Aha.
All right, so the last mission was Infinite. Oh, you're changing it. I can see you. Infinity. The UNSC Infinity crash-landed in the jungles of Requiem, and the Didact took chase. After tracking down one of the ship's recon detachments, Master Chief met ship commander Thomas Lasky, who was accompanied by a brand new Spartan, a brand new kind of Spartan. Led by Spartan commander Sarah Palmer, the Spartan Force helped John and Cortana reach the Infinity and repelled the Didact's attack. This mission is Reclaimer. Chief and Gypsy Company hop on a mammoth and roll out to destroy the array of particle cannons that are protecting Requiem's gravity well. John 117 uses a target designator so that the mammoth's mobile MAC cannon can take out the defenses. After a quick joyride on a Covenant Lich and a jaunt through Jackal Sniper Canyon, Gypsy Company sets its sights on destroying the gravity well in order to free the Infinity from the Shield World's grasp. Date of the game is still July 2557. Let's go through this intel at the very beginning of our cutscene.
Very good intel. Some of the best intel in the game.
I like the cutscene because it shows Del Rio. Again, you know, we talked about our thoughts on Del Rio, and he's written in a way that you're not supposed to like him, but he's trying to do what he thinks is best. So I'm trying to give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt. But, you know, he's kind of looking off on you know, this opening part. He's looking off in the distance, and then he gives us his thoughts on what we're supposed to do. What does he tell us, David?
Right, so you're inside a vehicle. It is nondescript, but I think it's a Pelican.
I think it's Pelican.
Pelican, yeah. So you're in there with a team of Spartan Force. You're getting briefed by a cool-ass hologram of Del Rio. So he's Infinity. He is telling you of your objective. You have to fly. Infinity has no shields still. So you have to disable these big mega cannons in this canyon to enable Infinity to get out and away from Requiem. So you're going towards a gravity well, like Colin says, to deactivate it, essentially, to get yourselves up and out. The objective is essentially you blast through and take out these cannons. You're going to have some pelicans and you have a mammoth for support, but you haven't really seen that yet, but it's going to be pretty awesome. Chief pretty much asks, sir, what is Force Recon's report of the area? He wants to know, like, where we're going, what the hell's going on. Del Rio looks at him contemptuously.
He gives the biggest, like, excuse me, bitch look I've ever seen.
Oh, Chief, you actually have been asleep for a while, so you don't know how the military works. So, when we have no intel, and it's a blow through op, which is just like, fuck the casualties, just throw bodies at it, and then we're getting out of here. This is essentially it. So then he kind of cuts Chief off, and he pretty much just says, just make it work. So that's what you're going to do. And then Cardano has a cool line, which is, I'd rather more intel with my intel, which is kind of cool. And then the Pelican kind of drops you off. You step off. It is reminiscent of several missions throughout Halo where you get dropped off in a desert map or from a Pelican. So it's kind of cool. And the mission kind of begins. I let Colin take it over. And then it's pretty damn cool.
How do you guys... The Marines kind of look a little dopey to me. How do you guys like the Marines now? They're with their weird helmets. Now, you know, it's just a big change here. I get what they're going for because they're not like home base Earth Marines, which what we're used to. They're like these Space Marines, so they have the weird helmets on, and like they just look way different than what we're used to. Krista, do you like these new Marines?
They never bugged me, but I don't spend any time looking at Marines usually. I'm usually killing them.
Yeah, right.
So.
Exactly. David, do you have any thoughts on Marines and the design?
They're weird. I like that they changed it. because the old one, well, the old it was a little bit dated. So yeah. I did think they need a little bit of a revamp. I'm not mad on them with their kind of combat visors, and I don't know, they made it. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan.
Okay, not a huge fan. So, but we do have some Spartans with us now. And you can actually shoot the Marines here. I think we can in other missions. We've talked about this in the past. But, you know, if you shoot these first two Marines that you meet, then this is what I did. I shot them just for fun, just to see what would happen. But then everybody turned on me.
Crazy sadistic
Everyone
person.
Turned on me after that. And, I just had to restart. So don't do that. Not at the start of this mission anyway. But we get to introduce to this another new thing in Halo 4 is this giant rolling tank. It's like 80 times the size of a tank. It's a mammoth. It's huge.
Well, someone's overcompensating, yeah. Says Cortana.
Great line.
Yeah, this thing is massive.
And I will say, I love this thing. I love the mammoth. It's so badass.
I love it. It makes the elephant look stupid.
Yeah.
It is a mobile like defense platform that is just like, it's full of ammunition and vehicles and troops and like equipment and it's weapons and it's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, so you.
It's a good place to hide.
Mm.
Well, right, yeah. So this is your mobile base, rolling base for the first part of this mission, and you can go around and pick whatever weapon you want. You're not going to get into a vehicle at least not at the start of this. But there's some vehicles in there you get to do. You could grab eventually. There's a bunch of screens on there that you can interact with later. And Lasky's up on top, so you can go chat with Lasky, and he just kind of gives you some like, all right, we're gonna go take out these particle cannons, which we find the first one fairly quickly here. But the plan is, you know, once you load in, and I think we have to grab a jetpack first before we start rolling.
Jetpack.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we grab a jetpack.
Gimme.
Let's talk about the jetpack. We get to fly around a little bit now. It's good.
It's cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Krista, how are you feeling about the jetpack?
I think it works really well. I like it. I think the jetpack... Well, a jetpack makes you go up high. That's about it. That's about all the jetpack does. You kind of go vertically. That's about it. It actually gets you pretty high, which is nice. It's really nice to get on and off the mammoth because there's a lot of... There's a lot of times in this mission where the jetpack actually comes in handy, like really, really well. Lots of cliffs in high areas that it's easy to get in and out of. Also, you feel like a total badass, like jumping off of the mammoth, jetpacking to an enemy, and then murdering them, and then going back.
It's
great.
Cool.
Yeah, I think. Can you jetpack all the way up to the top of the mammoth?
You see,
to the top of the.
Yeah,
mammoth?
You see a Spartan 4 do it as you approach the mammoth. So I think you can.
Okay.
Yeah, you can. You can go.
You have to.
Everywhere
I mean, you can get, you know, effective or competent using the jetpack. It takes a little practice because you have to. Use it in bursts. So you can just hold it down, but then you have to like jump and time it right when you put it on before you start to descend. Anyway, have some fun with the jetpack. It's a good time. It's very useful in this mission. And once you get the jetpack, then you go. Then the mammoth starts to roll as soon as you get that jetpack. And we start rolling around. We go around this corner right away, and then you see this huge floating particle cannon, I guess. And the plan is there's a couple pelicans off to your left, and the plan is for them to – one of them has the target designator. The plan is to use this little target designator that you'll see in a little bit to essentially, I guess, aim the MAC cannon from the mammoth at the particle cannon.
This makes no fucking sense to me.
Yes.
How can the MAC cannon not be fired and aimed from the vehicle it's attached to?
Exactly.
It's ridiculous to me. It's not like it's crazy out of range.
Also, you know, Chief has an all-powerful AI that he could just insert into the system and it would just fire at everything at 100% accuracy.
There's no system to plug into, though. Like, what system?
Cortana could... Definitely
she's got a little,
take over.
There's a bunch of computers everywhere.
Oh, into the MAC cannon, you mean? I see what you're saying.
Into the mammoth as a whole. Totally.
Yeah,
100%
yeah.
She could. She took over a Halo ring. She can take a fucking mammoth.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not... that was one of my comments is here. Is like, how... Okay, for one, why can the mammoth just not shoot it, the particle cannon? And for two, why can the particle cannon just not destroy the mammoth? It's sitting right there, right when it goes around the corner.
I think... I'm guessing the particle cannon doesn't want to destroy Requiem at all. I mean, it would be really bad if the particle cannons just started incinerating.
It's purely anti-air. It can't aim down for some fucking reason. I don't know. Doesn't make any sense.
Also, how stupid is it to have one target designator? It's like, this little radio is the only thing that we can use to fire this giant, all-powerful cannon. And I might just, accidentally, throw it into a sewer drain or something like that. It's gone forever and we can't do anything.
All right, let's rewrite the beginning of this mission. In the Pelican, everybody gets a target designator. You get a target designator. Right? You get a target designator. You get a target designator.
The Pelican's just full of target designators. Everyone has one.
If you see the particle cannon, aim it, and then we're going to fire. Yeah, it's a very video gamey, doesn't make a ton of sense. A lot of this mission seems like it's really, do we have to do all this? It's kind of cool once you get the target designator and use it, but it's a little weird. So anyway, the particle cannon takes out pretty much all.
Can you target Palmer?
Oh God, no, no, stop it.
That coward's not in the field. What are you talking about?
Oh my God, you guys.
Holding hands with Del Rio.
It's not fair.
Kissing. We're the two worst characters in this game. We might as well be paired together.
They have a whole pile of laser designators all around them. Just what are we supposed to do with this?
They're the ones who designed it. They're like, let's just give screw one. Everyone over.
All right, so our Pelicans go down. I think it destroys two of them. There's another one that flies off on the side. And then now our objective is to go get the target designator that was in that Pelican and aim it at the particle cannon so that the mech cannon, which is parked right next to the particle cannon, can destroy the particle cannon. Got it?
Let's go.
I have some questions.
One of the fun, really fun things about the Mammoth, because we all love the Mammoth, is that the rocket turret on it. Super fun.
Love it.
So I think you kind of have to use the one on the left right away, right? Because you go up on the ridge of this canyon here. There's a bunch of Covenant camped out right there, and so you just pepper them and take them out pretty easily. That's pretty much the only way to do it. I mean, you could waste ammo, but why waste ammo when you got a turret, right?
Rocket turrets are real fun.
Mm-hmm. So take out that whole side there, and then the Mammoth will eventually park. And on the right of the Mammoth, you have the other rocket turret that you can use. Have you guys had any luck destroying? Because there's a phantom that's over there, just kind of floating in the background, just bobbing and weaving. Have you guys had any luck destroying that thing?
I think you're supposed to do it with the
target designator.
Me too. I think it's like the kind of like the tutorial kill, as it were, of how to use the target designator if you haven't before.
Okay, as I've played this mission. Halo 4 is one of my most played, probably because it was one of the first played, in the hype moment Halos that I had, but I remember just sitting there just trying to pepper that phantom just for a good 10 minutes, and it just kept bobbing and weaving. I couldn't hit it, so I don't know if it's possible. Maybe somebody's done it before, but then we hop down. What I do also is I clear the whole as much of the Covenant as possible with that rocket turret. The ghosts are kind of hard to hit. Are you guys able to clear all the ghosts with the rocket turret?
I don't think I even bother.
There's a ghost. I just grab the ghost that's unmanned and just kill the ghost with the ghost.
Okay, so you don't even hang out in the rocket turret very, very long. Just head on down.
I love going inside the Mammoth and getting in a Warthog and getting give the Spartans rocket launchers and stuff and get them into the Warthog. I just love the idea of deploying a Warthog from another vehicle and the kind of the ramp opens down, you kind of shoot out the front, and it's just it's such a cool image that I love doing it, even if Chris's way is actually way better and makes more sense for but anyway, I thought it was cool.
Yeah, and you can actually, you don't even have to fight this area, you can just go grab the target designator, aim it at the particle cannon, and be done and move on.
It's hard to do that on heroic and above.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure a wraith drops in here.
A wraith comes in too. Yep, a wraith and some more ghosts, so you can do it. I've done it before, but it's also, this area is kind of fun too, to have to do a little vehicle combat. We eventually, there is a pilot back there, a Pelican pilot that is still alive, and I would imagine if you clear the area, you can keep her alive and bring her back to the mammoth. But I think when I did it, she didn't make it because she tried to follow me and I was doing my own thing. But grab that target designator and, you know, you're probably going to have the area cleared, and then you can just turn around and target the Phantom for one, because that's right, that's the tutorial part. So target that thing, the Mat Cannon takes that bad boy out, and then go around and take out the Particle Cannon itself. It's fun to see those explosions, I think. Did you have anything to add, Krista? Okay.
Nope.
Just a deep breath.
Yep. Sorry.
A gasp. So now the mammoth, this is kind of a weird thing, I think, in this mission. It doesn't want you to go too far ahead of the mammoth. Maybe this was like a playtest thing where if you had a warthog, you could just go all the way to the end of the mission without the mammoth. But the mission was built around here. You need the mammoth. So it has these like acid rivers that you encounter once in a while, which forces you. You can't drive a warthog through it. It forces you to get back into the mammoth, and then the mammoth itself can roll over those things.
But it's pretty cool bringing the warthog back into the mammoth after you've deployed it, and to have like the ramp close back up, and you're like, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. I feel like I should mention it, but there is a mega block set that's a mammoth, and it's amazing.
Oh, that's cool.
Check that thing out. And you can fit a whole warthog in there.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking.
It's fantastic. So we have to, you know, roll over in the mammoth, roll over the acid river. Then you actually can get the... Is it only warthogs in there, or are there mongoose? I think there's only warthogs.
Only warthogs.
You can get them out the door, like the side door, too, though. So once you get over that... the acid, then you can pull it back out and then start driving around in the warthog if you want. Then we continue on, and there's snipers in there too. Do you guys?
Yeah, there's a bunch of snipers.
Yeah, did you guys grab the snipers right away, or do you wait on that?
There's a couple, so I grabbed the initial one, and then actually, usually, I think one of the Marines had a sniper, so I just grabbed his.
Okay. So yeah, grab that because you'll want that eventually. But you proceed further, and then there's some Banshees that show up, and just hop on that rocket on the top there and destroy those.
Very satisfying. Very
good. Yeah, you probably could hijack them at some point. I mean, I would imagine that mechanic's available.
I don't think you can on this mission.
Okay.
I don't think it likes you to fly.
Yeah, because that would also break this mission if you could, because you just kind of fly towards the end.
Well, Colin. Yes. This mission has a crap ton of kind of things you can do to break it. And a few to kind of like, to say like the kill boxes are kind of like, there's gaps in them. There's a few that are kind of known. So they're called, there's four known soft walls, which are holes in the walls or ceilings that let the player get out of the map on this level. The first lets the player skip this sniper section, sniper alley. The second lets the player explore outside the forerunner structure and enter normally inaccessible rooms. The third lets the player explore outside as well, but as nothing apparent to offer. And the fourth lets the player deload the Prometheans and Cortana. When used in conjunction with the third, it gives you early access to the room before starting the certain cutscene. It's all about to kind of break this mission.
Okay. Interesting. I guess, I mean, this mission feels like... It's a big area that you're traveling throughout. It's a fairly wide open mission, I would say. I mean, it's all these missions are linear in some capacity. It's just like, you know, you go down the line, then it opens up and whatnot. But it's a big map, if you want to think of it that way. There's a lot of stuff to do. The next area, so you proceed a little further, and then the Covenant have put up like an energy shield in your path. And you need to get through that, and they have these little generators that are in bubble shields that you need to go out and take out. You need to destroy all three of the generators in order to take down the shield. It's pretty fun just to hop in a warthog and just go. I think I took the warthog. I was driving the warthog, and I had a Marine or Spartan on the back. And then I would just drive into the shield, and they would immediately—they would just take out whoever's in the shield with you first, and then they would immediately target the little generator, and it would pop. Yeah,
the AI here is pretty smart when it comes to like what you're supposed to do. And that's pretty fun. I do that every time. Also, it's fun to use the bubble shield, to kind of help you, like wither the attacks from a rate that's like totally peppering you, in this area. So like it's good for that as well. Like to use defensively. before you actually take the air. The thing.
So because you can just kind of poke the end of your gun out of this thing, right?
And that's right. Yeah.
Make contact. Yeah.
Yeah.
Krista, what do you do here?
For some reason, this area was like super glitchy for me. Like one of the elites got stuck in a cliff, and I was able to just shoot him and kill him, and then I have no idea what happened, but one of the generators just blew itself up. So, I have no idea what happened there. I was just like,
yeah, maybe.
I have no clue because I was just like walking up. I was kind of sniping some of the elites off, and then I just heard generator one down. I'm like, what? And then I usually just get most of the elites because they'll actually pop out of the bubbles to come and shoot you. So I get the elites, and then I usually grab a ghost and take out all the other ghosts, the wraith, and then you can just kind of boost into the thing and explode it, which is really fun to do. So I just did that, and then I left.
And then you left.
Then I left.
I think I've done. It's fun to do the ghost part too. I mean, I like driving ghosts in general. But then you can load that ghost back up into the mammoth, which is good. But you know what I did? I'm trying to think here. I'm trying to remember what I was doing in a ghost. I grabbed a ghost from the previous spot, and right before you destroy the particle cannon. So I grabbed a ghost from there, put it on the mammoth, and then somewhere I put it, it like disappeared. It's like when the game like kicked back in, the mammoth started moving. All of a sudden, it was just gone. So I think it's because I got out of it and put it somewhere, like a checkpoint hit.
The game's like,
yeah,
nope.
Checkpoint hit. But then I went back and reloaded, and if I was still in the ghost when the checkpoint hit, then I didn't like the ghost didn't dissipate or disappear. Like I was still in it.
Interesting.
So anyway, some ghost fun here. You have that wraith off in the distance to deal with too. And I'm playing on heroic. I just took the warthog, popped all three shields, and took the warthog back to the mammoth, and we just rolled. Like I really didn't do much combat in this. It wasn't too bad. If you don't want to, you can avoid a lot. And I'm probably like speedrunners, I'm sure do something similar. There's a turret on top of like a little, I don't know, a rock. That thing is a death trap.
Yeah.
Don't go up there.
No, don't go there.
It looks fun. It looks like a cool thing. But just everybody can aim at you.
Instant death
up there. So don't do that.
Yeah, the grunt who's on it doesn't last very long when I approach the area. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to take him out. All right, so let's keep rolling here. This next area is kind of close to the next particle cannon. And you have a guy just chilling there with a goshawk, which is weird. I don't know where he came from.
Oh, yeah.
How'd he get there? How'd he avoid the lava rivers? I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm not so sure either.
Acid rivers.
But he's
hanging
out there at the goshawk, and go grab that goshawk because it is a good time. Well, actually, I guess before you do that, you could probably target the particle can and just take that bad boy out right away. So then there's two particle cans down. And then the Covenant get a little grumpy, and they send in some reinforcements. So, grab that goshawk. A lich comes in. We've never had a lich before.
No.
What is a lich?
Colin, I'm glad you asked, because I'm ready. The lich is a type of heavy dropship utilized by the Covenant and its remnants. Much larger than their contemporaries, such as Phantoms, the lich is capable of hosting dozens of troops and extremely heavy weaponry. And the Type 56 lich was employed by the Covenant and is the heaviest class of dropship. They were utilized in the Covenant Human War, but were so destructive that oftentimes the UNSC forces deployed against them suffered near total annihilation, limiting information about them readily known to the UNSC, i.e. the reason why we didn't have them in the game before now was because they killed everyone who had looked at them, blah, 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 blah. So that's how they're introducing them into the game, into the kind of the canon lore. So it's a pretty awesome thing, and you're going to tell us a bit more about the gameplay, but I love this sequence. It's so cool.
Yeah. So Lich comes in and disables the mammoth. Does it just like it
EMPs
doesn't
the crap out of it? I think.
Is it EMP? Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't clear during my playthrough, but yeah. Okay. So it shoots the EMP, disables the mammoth. So you now need to not only take out all the Covenant here on the ground, but you need to board that Lich, which is a cool moment. It's a fun thing, and the Lich has kind of parked itself nearby. I don't know why it doesn't, you know, just destroy the mammoth while it's, you know, incapacitated. But you know, whatever. It just floats up there, and it sends down some troops in its little gravity beam. So, you know, you need to climb up the hill, clear them out, go up into the belly of the lich, and then you need to just you go up to, like, a control panel on the back of it. It kind of, you go up to the top section. So it feels kind of like when you're in a scarab, right?
Yeah.
These things aren't driven by Lagolo, though, are they? This is,
no,
like, an actual machine?
Okay. No.
But if you have a similar scarab type moment where you kind of need to fight through it. And this is kind of reminiscent of the scarab in Halo 2, I would say. That first one that you, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're kind of walking through the platforms there, and then there's a spot where you just need to, I think you can probably just throw a grenade, or you can shoot the spot, and then the lich will start to blow up. But you can actually ride it for a little while, which is kind of fun. It'll take off of the side, and then you can jump onto the top of the mammoth from it, which if you're good with your jetpack. Yeah.
This is where the jetpack comes in handy. I feel like such a badass doing this. You jump up, you destroy it, and then you get to jump off with your jetpack. Yeah. It's great.
It's totally cool just boarding this vehicle, like fighting your way up into it, through it, and then destroying it and jumping off. It's such a satisfying feeling. It's a cool moment.
Yep. Yep, I agree. The only thing that's a little tricky here is that you want that goshawk just because it's so much fun.
Yeah.
So you don't want to leave that too far behind. I think I try to jump on the mammoth, but then quickly remember, oh, I gotta go, you know, get that goshawk again. Those wraiths can take your goshawk out pretty quickly, so you just have to drive around and try to be careful. But it's a fun little area. I think this is a good spot, even though it doesn't, you know, again, you know, you have the particle cannon right next to the mat cannon. Why doesn't next to the mammoth? Why doesn't it kill that? Then you have the lich come in, disable your mammoth, but then just chills up on the top of this hill. So, again, a lot of this video gamey stuff, whereas, you know, the Covenant, it portrays the Covenant. Prometheus is kind of dumb. But you know what?
I mean, what can you do? They're not, like, Covenant. They don't really have a very wise leader anyway.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it. They're a sect. They're a zealot sect, and they're... They're following the Didact. So now they're super happy now, right? Like, this Covenant, they're like, hey, this is our guy. This is why we're here. We're going to do what he says. But, you know, we're not really privy to how they're communicating with the Didact or any of that. They're just taking orders somehow from him. All right. Let's proceed now. I think the next spot is where we get stuck, right? Like, the mammoth proceeds a little further, and then we can't go any further. Can't go anymore. Let's see here. I'm looking at a walkthrough here. But yeah, I think then we get off. Then it's that jackal sniper alley, right?
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. So you roll a little further on. I think there is some Cortana. Ooh, yeah. So Cortana starts to bug out again. And she talks about rampancy a little bit more. And she describes, she's like, hey, you know what rampancy actually is? And I think we've covered this at some point, but she says it's when AIs literally think themselves to death. So it puts yep. that fact, like, kind of front and center to the player. And you're like, oh, crap. And it puts a little perspective on...
Stop thinking, Cortana. Clear your mind. Do some meditation.
Right, yeah. I mean, it puts a little perspective on, like, kind of what's going on and why she's bugging out a little bit. So, yeah, that's kind of a little bit of a heavy moment before you proceed further. Another kind of interesting, I think it's interesting because there are other fire teams out there. You know, you're not the only one. Del Rio mentions fire to your Shadow Company, I think. Shadow and Castle Company, how they're out there. So we've killed these two cannons, and then Del Rio says, hey, go put some more pressure on these other, there's other cannons out there to help clear the way for Master Chief so that the Covenant and the Prometheans essentially have to say, oh, we can't send all of our forces to stop Master Chief. We got to go and defend these other cannons right now. So just kind of an interesting tidbit. It's interesting, you know, kind of field tactics conversations that are going on throughout. Krista, do you like this sniper alley? I feel like you would. I feel like this would be a good spot for you.
Oh, yeah, I have no problem with this, honestly. At this point, I've kind of memorized where the jackals are.
There's a lot of them. They're way up top. They're all over the place.
Yeah, you'll learn very fast where they are.
Especially on Legendary.
I usually try to...
yes, one-shot kills, right?
Yep. I usually pick up a beam rifle as soon as possible, just because it's a bit more accurate. It's a little easier to pick them off, because there's so many beam rifles in this alley anyway. Mm-hmm. So I usually go that way. I pick all of them off, and then I pick off whatever elites are left, and then come in with a carbine and clean up the rest.
Okay, yeah. I'm usually end up with... It's nice how there's all the ammo along the way. So you got your sniper ammo. And then, you know, a lot of times I'll go back and forth to those spots, which is good. Lots of grunts too. I feel like I don't want to waste my ammo on grunts. Do you guys have the same thing?
Sniper ammo?
I'll use carbine ammo on those. Not sniper
ammo. Yeah, because I think what I usually have is like a power weapon of some sort. Like I think in this playthrough I grabbed a rocket launcher just to have it. And then my other weapon was a sniper. So it's like I didn't want to waste a rocket on these dudes, and I didn't want to waste a sniper ammo. So I'd be like going up and punching them or throwing grenades, trying to get rid of them. But, you know, maybe not the best tactic. But, yeah, and then you have – so you kind of work your way through the canyon here. I guess, David, do you do anything different here?
Not really. Yeah. Other than the fact that, like, I do take the sniper at this point, even though I don't like using it, you have to take out the jackals, especially in the higher difficulties. They've got to be your focus because they're one-shot kills. There's cool, like, I do like this mission because the Mammoth is a mobile weapons platform, so there's loads of ammo. There's also some ammo as you come up, like, different kind of the familiar drop pods of weapons, single weapons, yeah. And these little pods from Halo 2 and 3. So I kind of like that. So you kind of fight your way through this canyon. I don't do anything special here.
Okay. Oh, one thing I didn't mention is, and I didn't realize this until I read, you know, one of the, I think I was going back and reading the transcript from the mission on Halopedia. So once the Mammoth parks, before the Mammoth parks, there's always like a Marine in front of one of those screens, like pushing buttons and doing stuff. Once it parks, then you can actually go back and access those panels, those terminals that they're at. There's just like some little bits of dialogue that you can gather from that spot. So
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I thought that was cool. I didn't do it, but apparently you can. Apparently that's possible.
You can if you want to.
The further we work up, now you can see this Forerunner structure up in the distance. Now we start to see some Prometheans up here. And yeah, we gotta deal with more crawlers and more knights and our favorite the watchers. Not a ton of watchers, it's mostly knights and crawlers around this area. This area, it's just kind of ho-hum for me, this next spot, kind of before you get up into the door. It feels okay, but again, I've played it a lot, and it's pretty straightforward. It's just, you know, hunker down, clear all the people, clear all the enemies, move forward, more spawn, or more, you'll encounter more, you know, hunker down, clear more. So it's not super tough. I think you make it more difficult if you rush forward too far. And then the crawlers or the grunts can get behind you and kill you. So if you just take your time, this spot isn't too bad. There's, I think, two or three knights on the top that you can take out with, you know, a grenade. Or if you did grab a rocket launcher, maybe use a rocket launcher on them.
Some fun stuff.
David, how are you approaching this spot with the Prometheans?
Yeah, I try and get the heavy weapons on the Prometheans as soon as possible.
There's a fuel rod somewhere.
They're the biggest threat. Yeah, there's a fuel rod here. There is is there a sniper? There is a beam rifle, I think, here as well. There is some jackals that shoot some beam rifles and stuff like that. Yeah. So I try and use them, even though I don't like them, but to take out Prometheans as much as I can.
Then the crawlers are like on the walls too. They're not only down below, they're up high. So you gotta keep.
I hate them when they're on the wall.
They're because they're not always easy to pop. Like if their mouth isn't open, they're not gonna pop. If you're hitting from the side, Krista, anything different?
Not really. I usually just take out all of the infantry and then go in for the kill for the Promethean knights. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not anything special really. Yeah. There's not a lot of ways you can really tackle this area.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we open the door now at the very top of this structure, and now we have this fun Forerunner area to crawl through. You got some Sentinels that are
Forerunner time
that are like leading you through this area, which is interesting. I don't know this area, this structure specifically. I guess I think I made a note in my notes about how like how metallic it was and like it just how everything was super reflective. And I think they just did a good job of doing the, you know, I guess portraying and the Forerunner aesthetic in this area. Plus, you're alone, so you can actually take your time and look around a little bit. You're just wandering around this structure. It feels like these Sentinels, I think Cortana says, it feels like these Sentinels are, like, leading you somewhere, which they are. But, you know, you're just finding which door. You follow the Sentinels, follow which door opens up, continue moving through. Then you'll eventually get to a spot where there's a long hallway, a door will open, and then you see this console at the very end. It's like this glowy yellow console. And you actually see the particle cannon. So there's four particle cannons. You'll see two are kind of like slumped over in gray. Those are the ones that you already took out. And then there'll be two more that are yellow or highlighted that the other kind of mentioned earlier how the shadow and castle companies are going to attack those particle cannons. You pop Cortana in, and I don't know if you always pick up. Do you guys pick up on this? She uses the particle cannons to shoot themselves. Did you guys pick up on that? I think that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really smart. She's like, they technically can't shoot each other. Technically. Mm-hmm. So she does something to the system, tricks it, and into shooting each other, which is nice, very efficient.
Yep. And then now all the particle cannons are gray, which means they're all down. So now we're good, right? Now we just have to go and figure out how to disable the gravity well. That was our mission, our objective at the very beginning of the mission. However,
Cortana goes bye-bye.
Where did Cortana go?
I like how Cortana disappears and Chiefs immediately just leaves the room.
Yeah, it doesn't go like look around. Like, is she under here? Like, under this couch cushion? Where'd she go?
You just leave. You're like, I guess she's gone. Bye.
She does make a comment, though. She says, something's in here, and then disappears. Interesting. We don't really look too hard. We just kind of scramble out of the room.
We just kind of turn around and come back the way we can. Like, oh, no one saw that. I didn't do it.
Yeah, where'd my blue lady go? But you do see a...
It's like when you do something bad and then you're just like, I didn't... You just walk away from it slowly pretending that didn't happen. You're like,
right.
That's kind of weird. How'd that break?
Well, and I think earlier, before this happens, you know, because we're wandering around this Forerunner structure, Sentinels are leading us, like we would have down an elevator. All these doors are opening for us. I think Cortana says, or I forget who it is, but somebody says, this kind of feels like a trap. Like,
It's Cortana.
Maybe it is, but we're just going to keep going anyway. And then Cortana disappears, so it's a little bit of a panic moment for the player. But you do see the light bridge show up off on the side. You can kind of go over that. Yeah, so it just so happens. But you are being led somewhere, and you eventually find this beam of light in this random room.
And instantly step in. Yeah. Like, what could you go wrong?
You
actually can't.
Like, it sucks you into it. Did you guys notice that?
It does, yeah.
I tried to, like, go around
I was looking at the weapons in the, like, crates. I'm like, oh, maybe I should grab that. And it was like, nope. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess I'm doing that first. It
yanks you into the light. So who do we meet here? Krista, do you want to do this?
Yeah, super lore time. It's lore-y hooray. Time. This is a really cool cutscene.
Super deep.
We got lost.
Yeah. So it's interesting because, again, we've talked about this in the past. Like, for Halo 4 specifically, it just dumps so much on you. And this cutscene, it just throws a lot. And the dialogue's thick.
It's like.
And you're just like. And if.
Can you repeat any of
exactly.
that,
please? Can we have a little bit of dialogue so I can understand? I have a couple questions. the terminals help explain what's going on, so if you're paying attention to those, but you really need to watch this cutscene probably a couple times and these terminals a couple times to really soak in what's happening.
Okay. Well, Chief is, like, looking up at the sun, and this beautiful lady comes down. He's like, who are you? And she's like, hey, I'm... the librarian, or, you know, what remains of her, kind
it's
of
like a memory.
She's kind of like just a memory implantation into the system. But she says she's here because she's here to help assist humanity on their path to the mantle. But you're stupid, Master Chief, and you put the planet at risk because you let the Didact out. Mm-hmm. She says the Didact's going to leave. You can't allow it. She pretty much she's pretty much just exposition lady. She's like, I know you're confused. You have no idea what's going on. Here, let me teach you. So she tells him the Didact's evil plan, mm-hmm. and he is seeking the Composer, which is a super crazy machine that allows him to digitize people, mm-hmm. basically. It's pretty much just a horrible, horrible, horrible machine. Pretty much a doomsday weapon. So, she explains that ancient humanity started, you know, attacking the Forerunners way, 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 way long ago. The Didact was very angry, and, you know, entire systems fell, and, you know, they were fighting and stuff like that. Then she says, oh, you know, humanity wasn't, you know, fighting us. They were running from the flood.
Yeah. That whole sequence and the delivery of that is so iconic to me because I never saw or read anything before Halo 4. Like, I didn't see the terminals in Halo 4. I didn't find any before this point. Hadn't read any of the pre-books before this. So this cutscene and the delivery of that line of humanity weren't, you know, fighting, they were running.
Expanding, they were
that
running.
That was just like, oh, yeah. Shit. And that was just a huge, like, even the fact that there was ancient humans fighting forward, the Forerunner's greatest enemy was humanity. I was like, what? And then, like, when she has the reveal, it's that awesome cutscene of showing them fighting. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
It just totally blew me away. Like, I wasn't ready for it. Didn't expect it. Thought it was excellent. I just thought this whole sequence was just so well done. And for how deep it is and, like, how much that explodes and expands the lore that I didn't realize was already expanded. I just hadn't read it yet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was just like, whoa.
It was all huge there. For yeah. me. It's a big hook moment. For me, too. Mm-hmm. I do like how she says that the humanity was running, and then, like, in the video, you see, like, two little figures actually running. Just
yeah.
to kind of hammer that home
then
a little bit.
You see the
bit.
Flood.
Yeah. And... Continue.
It's a really pretty cutscene. The librarian looks really cool and everything like that.
She got no nose.
So she
Where'd
goes
nose
on
go?
Saying,
"Where'd it go?
She's Voldemort. Oh no." she says the Forerunners made plans for a final great journey. The Didact refused to yield the mantle of responsibility, and he wanted to save all life at the galaxy. So she's talking about the plans for the Halos, and then Didact trying to offer a different solution other than mass genocide. So the Forerunners were on a quest for transcendence. The Composer was actually supposed to bridge the organic and the digital realms, make the Forerunners immortal, and of course, if you're digital, the Flood have kind of a problem infecting you just a little bit. But she explains that the effect of the Composer wasn't what it was supposed to be. She says the people that were stored in there actually ended up fragmented, and when they tried to restore them back to a biological state, they created abominations.
Mm-hmm. Gross.
The Didact didn't care. The Flood only made a the Flood only wants organic matter, so the Didact continued using the Composer even though it corrupted personalities and made just crazy abominations. And so,
but I think
it's basically explaining that the Prometheans are just counters to the Flood, basically. A massive counter to the Flood.
Yeah, so like these Promethean knights, right?
Yes,
yeah, so all these constructs that we're fighting, like, they're all built to fight the Flood. And as you said earlier, I think in a previous episode, the Prometheans were forerunner warriors. Also, these specific Promethean knights are, like, digitized beings that they shoved into this metal casing with the, you know...
Ancient humans. Yeah. That's what you think about.
Ancient humans, yeah. He was doing mass genocide on ancient humans and putting them into these constructs in order to create an army, basically. Because when the personalities fragment, they just become these kind of very... They have the same intelligence and, I guess, just skills as humans, but they just... They're just empty shells. Mm-hmm. They just do what they're told kind of thing. So... Pretty much just machines.
She figures that out, like, immediately, which I think is good.
Yeah.
they're humans.
It's a really interesting revelation. Mm-hmm. It also explains why under the mask, it's a human skull and not anything else.
Oh, right, when they open their face?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, this is so important. This whole cutscene is so good. It's confusing.
We're about halfway done, guys.
Continue, but just... Okay. I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah, it's very nice. Exposition lady is doing very good exposition. She says that, they stopped the Didact because he would have just encrypted the entire race and used the Prometheans to destroy the Flood, and that's why he was imprisoned here to stop him from doing things. He was basically So Cryptums are basically Forerunner timeout chambers. Yeah. He was put in a long timeout. They're like, no, bad. You stay there.
But they didn't kill him. They just imprisoned him.
Well, the librarian was hoping to rehabilitate him with the domain.
Oh.
He was supposed to have access to the domain and all that time so he could kind of meditate and see what's happening in the galaxy in his absence. Because the domain was damaged during the firing of the halos, he didn't actually have access to it and was just pretty much sitting there doing nothing for 100,000 years. Though a 100,000-year nap doesn't sound super bad. I could go for one.
Yeah, I think some of it is the fact that he wasn't napping. He was, in fact, conscious for that period of time.
The entire
time, there's an element
yeah.
of him going crazy as well. And, totally compounding his hatred of humanity. And it's not really explained that well here, but, he goes from wanting to protect the mantle and not give it up, i.e. he doesn't want to wipe out all the raid, which you think is a good thing. He doesn't want to use the halos. He wants to fight the Flood.
Right.
But he goes from that due to his hatred of humanity in that in the war with humanity, that takes a millennia, which they kind of gloss over how quickly... Do you know what I mean? That in a statement of how long they were fighting, all of their children were killed by humanity.
Yes.
So he's super angry about that.
It's almost a revenge scheme for him.
Yeah, in a big way, it's a double-edged thing of, yeah, I'm going to fight the Flood and I'm going to use your composed corpses and bodies to make my army to do that. So that's a kind of big deal for him.
Yes, the Didact is a very interesting character, and the librarian put him in this position, and right, interestingly enough, in the Forerunner books, right before she was about to fire the halos, she kind of figured out that the domain was not going to work after they fired them, and that he was going to be imprisoned and go crazy, and she's like, what have I done, kind of thing.
Read those books.
Right before she died, too, fun stuff. Yeah, read those books. This makes a lot more sense if you read these books. The librarian goes on saying that, Reclaimer, when I indexed mankind for repopulation, I hid seeds from the Didact, seeds which would lead to an eventuality. She says, your physical evolution, your combat skin, and your Ancilla Cortana are all the culmination of 1,000 lifetimes of planning. So something that the life workers could do is they can imprint knowledge and memories and, just... They can imprint stuff in people, so she imprinted all of this information so that it would culminate in Master Chief happening.
Which
at
is
the end
crazy
of this.
And weird and way out there.
Totally.
Super science fictiony stuff.
Yeah.
So basically the whole Spartan program, especially Halsey, are all the culmination of Librarian gifting all of these qualities and information to humanity at the time she did.
So I it think wasn't it's Halsey kind of... that created the Spartans, it was actually the Librarian?
Basically,
which is kind of mental, but you gotta really think that a lot of it is it the culmination in Chief or is it in Halsey? Because without Halsey, there's no program, there's no Cortana, which is a huge deal.
It's a little of both. Yeah. Because John's special from all the different Spartans. That's been established time and time again in the Halo universe, and it's reestablished here. But basically, Halsey and John are basically the Librarian's doing. And we kind of find out later that Halsey actually has an interesting... a relationship with the Librarian at some point, but that's way down the line. So basically, all of this is the Librarian's doing. She's planning for humanity to take up the mantle, which is why she kind of imprinted all this, that so humanity could be the new caretakers of the galaxy once the Forerunners
have. And so she's realized that the humanity was supposed to have the mantle this whole time in some capacity, right? Mm-hmm. And then the Didact is denying that fact. He's just like, nope, it's ours.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. And then the Didact finds them. And so it gets all ominous and stuff. And the librarian's like, oh no, she's found us. And then the beautiful Didact's voice comes in and says, even in death, her meddling continues. Mm-hmm. And then these pillars rise up with Promethean knights on them. And then she says more confusing things. So she said, Reclaimer, the gene song I placed within you contains many gifts, including an immunity to the composer, but it must be unlocked. So now we get to explain gene songs. So a gene song was a forerunner term referring to a genetic command imposed on an organism or species under the influence of a giash. An organism could be given a set of subconscious orders that would be specific to that organism or passed on. Something that a giash is used for is to basically imprint memories from ancient people or ancient humanity or ancient whatever into that person. Giashes could be so powerful that you literally had, like, two people inside of you, because a giash can manifest in a whole person as well. Mm-hmm. So this kind of confirms that Master Chief could possibly have a very important giash inside of him that just hasn't manifested into a specific personality or anything like that. Which also might be one of the reasons why, like, rampant Guilty Spark is mistaking him for different characters and telling him he's a forerunner and stuff like that. So
interesting.
Very interesting. So then John's like, what are you gonna do to me? And she's like, we're gonna make your evolutionary journey accelerated. And John's like, can I defeat the Didact without it? Librarian's like, no. He's like, then do it. And so then Master Chief has a crazy light up moment.
He powers up.
Yeah, he gets, like, it looks like he's doing a, sentry turret. It called in Halo Reach? Looks like he's
giving out a sentry turret.
He like punches the ground, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, he does punch
the
ground.
He claps a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like he's doing that armor effect from Halo Reach that we all hate, armor lock. Yeah,
that's true.
It's like, oh gosh, don't do that, Master Chief. She gave him the most powerful tool in all of Halo, infinite armor lock.
I want to talk about this real quick. So I think I've been on the record in saying that this moment is super disappointing in terms of, like, it can have such a huge effect on the lore. From this point onwards, several things, theories spin out of what the hell happened with Cortana later on and with Chief here. So I thought that here in this moment would have been cool to actually see something in the gameplay different with Chief. Because all this actually does is give you the immunities for it to be composed. Nothing else. Even though all these other gifts that she says your gene song has, you don't have access to. Even though she's now theoretically unlocked the evolution of Master Chief. So maybe slowly over time you can see him evolving. But you imagine that right now he's the most evolved form of human. And that, you know, is possibly the whatever the librarian has built humanity to be. He's closer to it than anyone else. And you don't see anyone else get waking up. It's only ever Chief or John that went undergo this. And I thought that this should have been, like, when this moment happens, I was expecting mad shit to happen afterwards. I was like, Chief is going to fucking fly. He's going to fucking he's going to get superpowers.
Super Saiyan.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what the hell is going on? Like, I expected crazy stuff to come out of this and nothing ever did. So I was kind of felt like...
And it's kind of never... This a moment is never talked about in any of the lore, even the extended
lore. They totally could, though. They could come back here at any time and write in anything they wanted Chief to do. Do you know what I mean?
It's true.
I just feel weird that, like, they just left it there. It's a huge opening. And, like, I thought, like, now would have been a cool moment in the game if maybe from here on you could use forerunner technology, that maybe the guns and weapons assemble themselves now, that maybe up to this point you weren't able to. I thought that would have been cool in terms of, like, in gameplay.
Or, like, the sentinels follow you around.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, something.
Yeah, that's a good point. A little bit of a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
And also, right after this, we find out that Cortana also had contact with the library, and we don't know if the librarian did anything to Cortana, because you would think the librarian would be able to heal Rampancy, because the Forerunners didn't have that problem with their AIs called Ancillas. Mm-hmm. Their Ancillas lived forever. True. I mean, Medicant Bias lived for, like, 100 years.
Right.
So you would think something would happen with that, but nothing really happens with this contact with the library other than lots of exposition and Chief getting immunity to a composer. That we know of right now. This could change later, but with the way 343 is going with things, I don't think this will ever be talked about again, most likely. Mm-hmm.
They've moved on now, I think. They're moving.
They're way past this. They're trying to kind of revamp the series a little bit, so I think going back to Halo 4 and 5 is probably out of the question at this point.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Aaron's theory that at this point he reckons their librarian copied Cortana. That something Cortana is here somewhere, that the Cortana you take and maybe isn't the true Cortana, and that goes on to do other things in the Halo universe. So there is a possibility that there is a version of Cortana existing here that could eventually come back again. We may have more than one Cortana, is essentially
okay. So they could do something else with that.
Yeah,
but like we said,
this is actually a huge theory going on with right now with Halo Infinite and the Cortana at the end of the Halo Infinite trailer. And right now, the biggest one is Cortana copy or second Cortana kind of thing. And the Librarian is definitely one of the starting points that could have originated.
Yeah, okay. That will get
that's enough.
There.
That's enough.
Sorry, I need more to go speculation. Come on, get me out of here.
Let's keep going. We know things that we haven't talked about yet, so we'll get there. We can always come back and talk about that later. All right, so we've unlocked our Super Saiyan power, but we feel more powerful. We just punch the ground and then head out. There is our terminal off to the right, and we'll cover off on that at the end. So as you're leaving the room, forgive me. Pop Cortana out, take her out, and then that will spawn a bunch of Prometheans in this room. I don't know. I feel like we just kind of need to move on. We're running long. So clear the room, or you can actually just sprint through this area also. So however you want to approach this, grab the terminal on the right as you're leaving, and then we jump into another portal. You go off to the left, and then you have a little conversation with Cortana, and she says, what does she do to you? And she's like, well, you didn't know? Like, no, I'm not sure. I'm glad you're back, but so she didn't actually know what happened in that whole interaction. So the librarian must have cut her off from that. So maybe playing into that theory that you guys are talking about a little bit more. You eventually hop into a portal, and then it just kind of plops you out into the battlefield. You can turn around, and the portal's gone. So it just kind of drops you right in there.
Just right by a tank. Very convenient.
Here you go, here's a tank. And now all the particle cannons are gone, are taken down. And now we can finally get to the gravity well and destroy that. So that's now our new mission, is to grab a target designator. You got to go get it now and then target the gravity well. But we get to have some more Scorpion fun time until then. You do see the Infinity in the distance, too, which is pretty sweet.
Oh, I never noticed that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, the Infinity's off there and the side. I mean, you're focused on the, trying to take down the Phantoms and the Wraiths. I mean, there's a lot of enemies here to deal with. But the Infinity just kind of hovering over there on the side, which is pretty cool. You could also, hop into a Mongoose if you wanted to. You could do that.
No. Don't do it. It's a trap. Yeah. 343 did it to troll you.
Krista, do you any of... I guess, Krista, you've talked a lot here, but with all the librarian stuff. David, any thoughts on kind of this area?
Oh, okay, bye.
Well, I'm just saying, I want to give you your voice a little bit of rest.
It's a cool area. You fight a lot of raids here, a lot of tanks. You can kind of blow through it. This is kind of a tough part when you're kind of speedrunning this mission to kind of get through this fast. I always run out of time here.
There's so many
raids. An achievement here for killing four wraiths with a wraith. So in order to do that, you have to disable it, board it, take the very first one over, and then kill all the other wraiths. It's very difficult. I don't think I've managed to do it on Master Chief Collection. It took me a while to do it on the original Halo 4.
Is it any level? Is it any?
I think it is heroic based. Or higher.
Yeah, so that's difficult.
What is the wraith taking procedure? Is it Halo 3 where you have to punch them out of the cockpit?
Yeah, you disable it and then run up and punch the crap out of it, and then hopefully don't destroy it in the process, which is kind of difficult.
Yeah,
sometimes.
That's kind of a roll of the dice in Halo 4, I found. Yeah. Halo 3, I can consistently just get the pilot out, but Halo 4 seems to be a little more finicky in that regard.
Yeah, and also when you're in the middle of doing it, you're taking fire, and very often other raids might destroy you before you've gotten actually into it. It's quite difficult. And then also you need to do it then before any of your allies also destroy your Wraith, so that's also a pain in the balls. So you got to be real careful in how you do this.
It's totally possible for someone to not even know you could steal a Wraith at this point, right? Like, they never explicitly tell you that you can do it.
No, no.
Not in any of the Halo games, really.
I mean, it tells you can board it, and then you can punch it when you get close and stuff. But yeah.
It's kind of something you just have to play Halo games a lot to kind of realize, or look at tutorials or other people playing or something like
but
that.
But I could see, like, I could totally see somebody playing Halo all the way through, and they're like, oh, you can get in those things?
Yeah. Awesome. Yes, true.
Because you always have a tank, or you know, you usually have something to blow it up with when you encounter them. So, anyway, continue.
And you kind of fight your way in. There's some more bubble shields. At the very end, you need to blow up the generators in him to access the next area. So again, you just phantoms dropping in, there's raids dropping in, there's loads happening here. When
it
you
feels
kind of
like panicky, this whole area. It feels like you are in a rush. I think some of the dialogue you gotta get there, and then, you know, there is this big Covenant force. I'm never really taking my time here. I'm usually just like pushing forward, trying to get to the gravity wall.
Yeah, there's a weird thing then that when you get to the gravity wall and there's a detonate and like a missile fires from Infinity, you kind of have control over this missile.
Do you?
It is weird, yeah. You can kind of move it around a little bit.
You can't miss, but like you can direct it like left and right and stuff. It's very strange, but like I don't know why they do it. Either to get you involved in the moment or something, but it's just a weird moment.
It's weird, I don't know.
It's weird too because the
Master Chief wouldn't be interfaced with it either.
No.
I mean,
yeah. But then also, the Infinity's right above the gravity well. Do you really need a target detonator to blow that thing
up? Yeah, man. I don't know. These target detonators.
Just drop a couple grenades off the end. I don't know.
The military logic of this mission is very different from like the video game logic.
It's because of Del Rio.
Yeah, he can't aim for shit, can he? All right. So the mission ends there. You do take that missile down, and then you do have a cool moment where the chief like walks away from the explosion at the end, which is very good. And then now we have one of there's lots of good cutscenes, but this is a really good cutscene. I feel like at the end here, we get back into the Infinity. The Infinity is actually free now, so it's like, you know, it is floating above under its own power above the shield world. And now we're talking about what we're going to do. And Del Rio wants to GTFO. He wants to go back home. And so we're kind of having that same conversation that we had at the tail end of the last mission, where Chief is talking about, no, that guy, we got to go take care of that guy.
He's kind of a problem.
Yeah.
This lady came to me in a vision and told me to stop it.
Yeah. Del Rio
she also gave me
very dismissive of John here. And does not believe him, essentially.
Really bad, you know, because hallucinations of an aging Spartan and his malfunctioning AI, it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
It's harsh.
Ooh.
It's a harsh line, but it's kind of, you can kind of see where he's coming from. Like, would you, in terms of, like, you have to take John's word for it?
Yeah.
He just saw this vision.
But this guy has seen the Halos. He's seen all the crazy stuff that the Forerunners have done.
That's true.
I mean, they're in a big metal planet. I mean, anything's possible.
Right. You're not wrong.
But it is interesting, though, because he says the hallucinations of an aging Spartan. And, like, it doesn't show you the conversation, but, like, he told Del Rio what happened, right?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So he's like, so I met this floating lady, and she told me all this stuff, and then, like, I stepped into this beam, and now they can't compose me. Like, come on. Like, we gotta go after this guy.
But the librarian, the didact, would have been on Forerunner glyphs and would probably be knowledge to any person who had access to the Forerunner files.
Like,
so
they know who those people are, those characters.
And, you know, if Del Rio mission was to do Forerunner stuff, you'd think he'd have, you know, just a basic debrief of what they found.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. True.
More than just, there's these rings in the sky that make boom boom go bad.
You're not wrong.
That's pretty much the intel that he kind of acts like he's acting on.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, they usually in these scenarios there's like an advisor off to the side that says, you know, like some nerdy advisor that knows all this stuff.
The science officer.
Yeah.
Pretty much he's kind of missing. Yeah.
Del Rio's been to Trevelyan.
That's true.
In the books, right?
Like. Yeah, in the books he's been to basically this crazy facility as big as a star system.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Dyson sphere. Like, I mean, well, is this really a surprise to you, dude?
We've already established he just wants to get out of here.
Yeah.
And he's dumb. Yeah, he's not bothered.
This guy's dumb.
And then, there's this fun standoff moment, and this is why Chief is kind of like Jack Bauer. Well, so before I get there, Cortana freaks out.
Like, it's one of the most iconic scenes of her freaking out in this. She goes all red and has a screaming fit.
Yeah, it's pretty much this moment where you see Chief split from the UNSC, essentially, and then become his own thing. Mm-hmm. I know he was like, everything he was doing in the other games was more or less under instruction, or like he had Lord Hood's blessing at the bare minimum of what he was doing when he wasn't operating totally solo, like behind enemy lines, which was him and Cortana. You have Nell here, he's directly faced up like a superior officer and like given a direct order, and he says, fuck this. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? He's just like, nope.
Yeah, because instantly Del Rio's like, all right, we got to put her for a final dispensation, which means basically just stomping on the AI chip until it explodes and dies.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand his fear when you realize what the power AIs have in terms of in the human culture, in terms of like all of their technology is designed around them, in terms of especially the military, that a rampant AI is incredibly dangerous thing. So like,
but we need Halo 5 to happen.
Exactly. So like, it's totally a thing. You can understand why it's a real threat. And like we've said at the start, it's the looming threat over the whole game of Cortana going rampant. And you've seen it in the gameplay and bits. And then you've seen her now where she has a freak attack and kind of has a cool big electric shock. And she's gone kind of blue and red and stuff like that. And you can see like the other people kind of shocked on the bridge as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he orders Lasky to take the key out, and Chief steps in and actually takes it and plugs her Cortana back into himself and pretty much says, the Didact must be stopped. Screw you. I'm ignoring your plan.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a meme where Master Chief's holding a bag of lace and Del Rio's like, give me that chip.
Oh, that's
like,
no.
That's what I think of every time I watch this. So,
but he does have that direct moment where he's like, nope, I'm doing my own thing. I know better than you.
He looks right into him and he's like, I'm going to fix this mess if you're not going to.
Yeah, it's awesome. They're like, you can just, he turns to Lasky, totally dismissive of the Rio then, and is like, you go to Earth, warn them, tell them what to do. We're going to go and try and hold off the Didact here. I love how he just dismisses Del Rio after he has a little panic attack. And then the Rio is like screaming at Palmer to arrest Chief.
Arrest that man!
And Chief just walks.
And Palmer's just like, hell no, yeah. I'm not doing anything. Another really kind of cool thing I think of this is after Cortana's meltdown and just how uncomfortable and scared she is after that.
Yeah, I think they that's do a good it point. Really well. She's like, I didn't mean to, right?
Please don't do it. I don't want to. Please. Yeah. And that's another thing about rampancy. Like, a lot of AIs decommission themselves.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Like,
yeah, they do.
Yeah.
There's,
yeah, a lot of AIs are able to just decide that they're too rampant and just decommission themselves when time comes. Like, between Halo Wars 1 and 2.
Yeah.
The AI decommissions herself.
That's right.
Serena. Yeah, you get a great moment there. It's so cool. It's just such a huge moment from the Halo lore where you see Chief just become his own thing.
Yep. Yep.
So Cortana refusing to decommission herself is already kind of telling on her personality and her type of rampancy, that it might have been too late for her to even kind of realize it, just because of the grave mind and interfacing with the Halos and stuff like that.
Also remember, Cortana disabled the ability to even do that.
Oh yeah, she did when she was first... Yeah.
Like, she was too smart for Halsey.
That was one of the first things she did, which is a very Halsey thing to do anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, if Halsey could turn off her ability to die, she would do it pretty much instantly. Because right. That's just Halsey.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of telling on Halsey's character and how that kind of got brought over to Cortana.
Yeah, we found that little audio clip in the smoldering crash of the Ford Unter Dawn. That's right. Cool. Alrighty. Well, we're done with the walkthrough. More long fun. I mean, this mission's good. I'm a fan of it. Yeah, lots of fun stuff to do.
It's a lot of shooty, shooty, bang, bang.
That mammoth thing is
pretty
cool.
A lot of new stuff.
I enjoyed it.
I got some cool trivia for you. You want some of this trivia? Ooh. So, in the final cutscene, Del Rio refers to Commander Celera Palmer as Lieutenant when ordering her to arrest Master Chief.
Oh, yeah.
According to Halo 4 writer Chris Silf, Del Rio's order was originally meant to be directed at Palmer. This is corroborated by his conspicuous gesturing at her, the fact that there is no additional characters shown on the frame, and Palmer's visibly conflicted reaction to the order. However, after the rank structure of the Spartan branch was changed, Del Rio was retconned into addressing an off-screen Navy lieutenant instead. So that's just their comment to cover up their mistake there. Mm. You could also factor it into the state of mind of Del Rio, of his like just anger and frustration, and he just says the wrong thing. Do you know what I mean? It could totally just be him.
Yeah,
just him spatting out anything. An alternate version of this cutscene, I didn't know this existed. I'm going to tell you about it because I watched it and it's hilarious. An official alternate version of this final cutscene was made for the 2012 Spike Video Game Awards. In it, Cortana is replaced with Samuel L. Jackson, who argues with Del Rio that they should return to Karani Station, which is where Del Rio wants to go, to retrieve Master Chief's stolen Warthog, which apparently was stolen by the Didact. So this cutscene is 50 something seconds long. So it's actual Samuel L. Jackson put into the like live action in a blue hologram kind of look.
Oh, funny.
With Cortana. They had Steve Downes turn to Del Rio and say, "We should go back. We have to go back and get my Warthog." And Del Rio's dialogue is unchanged. So he's like, "We are not doing that. We are blah 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 blah." He finishes out his dialogue. Samuel L. Jackson goes off with a lot of bleeping of, "Motherfucker, you won't do exactly what I tell you to do. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. You better, or I'm going to get." Or he says, like, when he insults Cortana, like, "You're something AI," whatever he says, "You're delusions or something, and you're damaged AI." He says, "Damaged, you did not just say that." It's so funny. And then it just shows the Infinity putting the braid, like, they just played the scene of Infinity floating through the clouds. Breaking sounds and then slowly reversing backwards, and Samuel L. Jackson, "Oh, you're damn right, we're going back." So it was pretty funny.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
I never knew that existed. The room in which Cortana tries to deactivate the particle cannon was originally meant to appear in the level Forerunner, but was repurposed for this level. There is a UH-144. The Falcons were seen flying past Infinity in a screenshot from the level released during E3 2012. They do not appear in the final version of the level, Falcons. Nor do they appear in the game at all. Yeah, they're the vehicles from Halo Reach.
They reach, yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. It is possible to destroy the particle cannons without using the mammoth, so the player just needs to be in range and fire at the core, just so you know. It takes a while, but you can do it.
Okay.
Oh, really? Oh, nuts.
Yes. There is plasma grenades placed on rocks in the beginning, located at places where the player would normally be on the mammoth. I don't know why, but they're there. And the very last thing I will say, this is the only campaign mission in Halo 4 where Prometheans are featured as enemies, but none of their Forerunner power weapons are available. No scattershot, binary rifle, or incineration cannon are present in any form. There you go. There
are
lores.
Interesting. All right, let's do Terminal.
Okay. All right, I got a thingy for you. So this is all about Forthencho, or the Lord of Admirals. Of course, the humanity got defeated, and Didax kind of almost giving his last goodbye to Forthencho, or the Lord of Admirals. He's saying, you know, "We've battled for many years. You're my finest opponent. The mantle accepts all who live fiercely, defend their young, who build and struggle and grow, and blah, 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 blah." And then he's kind of goes like, but for all of us, there's a time like this where we die. So he's basically like, "I'm going to kill you now. Know this, relentless enemy, killer of our children." Because for the Lord of Admirals, or ancient humanity, killed all of the Didact and Librarian's children because they all became warrior servants. It's not like they killed one or two. The Librarian and the Didact had a couple children, like five or six, I think. All of them dead. Mm-hmm. Every single one. So, then he talks about, "Oh, soon we're going to face the enemy you have faced, and we are afraid." During this scene, it's a lot of cuts of the Lord of Admirals lying in bed, obviously aged after decades of fighting. the Diadect kind of walking around, and then him talking directly to the Lord of Admirals when he's lying in bed in this big Forerunner facility where there are multiple humans kind of lined up, which is obviously a facility to compose all of them. And then there's a shot of the Lord of Admirals finally giving up, like all the four. They're obviously on some kind of ancient human ship. They're backed into a corner, and the Lord of Admirals actually just kind of has the warriors point down their rifle and basically gives up. So, takes a real man to know when he's defeated, unlike the Diadect. And then, after his final speech to the Lord of Admirals, it goes to the librarians, who's looking at a infection form very seriously. She's looking at it very closely. And then she kind of finally figures out that the humans were never actually attacking Forerunners. They were acting as caretakers and making sure that the infection wasn't spreading. The Diadect's like, well, tell that to the millions of dead. And if they had not done that, they didn't bring the flood to our shores. Mm-hmm. And like storms out of the room, and the librarian's like, you're kind of a dick. No, she actually says, husband? Like, this is kind of the Diadect's changing moment where you can kind of see him fragmenting and really just blaming humanity for basically everything that happens from here on out. It's almost his scapegoat. I'm not sure if it's just a kind of pride that he has within him. He's a very prideful character, even in the books. He's racist. This guy's racist. Lock him up in racist prison. And this is why you shouldn't be racist. You'll be put in the ball for 100,000 years. That's what we do to racists here. But yeah. He just uses humanity as a scapegoat for all his problems here on out. It just comes crazy, crazy nuts. It also doesn't help that he had a conversation with the Gravemind at some point. Unclear when it is in these terminals. That's the only thing with these terms. Yeah, the Diadect.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He has a long conversation with the Gravemind. The biggest problem I have with these terminals is it's hard to kind of place them in context in conjunction with the Forerunner books.
Right.
I believe this is probably before, but at the same time, like, this is like maybe like 500 years of time that's being, like, the Forerunner books are just a couple, like, the final years of the Forerunners, but these terminals cover a lot of different timelines and stuff like that, so it's hard for me to actually tell exactly when in the timeline it is. There's of course theories, but there's not anything definitive to when all of these terminals exactly happen.
Yeah, they're little moments in time, and then like it could be 100 years that passed or something like that between the two, you know.
Yeah, Forerunners are basically immortal unless they are shot or infected. Mm-hmm. So like time for the Forerunners is inconsequential. So I mean, you know, 100 years is nothing to them. So it kind of makes it hard to have a timeline for all these different characters and stuff, just because their lifespan is pretty much infinite until the point where the halos fire.
Did humans live that long way back then?
No.
They never did? Okay. Just the Forerunners?
No, it's because the Forerunners had they had this special armor that they wore times, basically. Yeah, that did everything for them, and you know, kept them young and stuff like that. And they had a bunch of other things. Like, the Forerunners weren't like regular humanity, and they didn't age the same way, and they had like evolutions throughout their lifetime. Mm-hmm. Like phases, like a like a manipula and stuff like that. And they kind of they're very strange. It's explained a lot more in the Forerunner books, but it's a little too much to go in right now. But there we go. A very spicy terminal. With an angry man yelling at his wife.
Right. All right, let's do some community, and we're running long again. Oof. We'll get out of here.
We're doing big episodes for you guys.
Because they're big missions.
We love you so much. Mwah.
David's still awake.
Yeah, just about. Okay, let's do this. Colin Perkins, admin, July 21st at 7:59 p.m. What dormant power would you want the librarian to lock within you? Question for the mission debrief Halo 4 Reclaimer mission. So it's Cupid of Chief kind of powering up this stuff. So we got AJ says the ability to telekinesis objects the same as the Didact. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Jared says the ability to survive being rammed by a ghost. It's also pretty useful. It's called Armor Lock, my friend. It exists. I'm just saying. Randy Peterson says the ability to make Halo 5 have a better campaign story. My friend. We all want that. Kyle says the ability to carry more than 4 mags of ammo into an extended firefight. I want Halo CE loadout. 10 mags of everything. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Matthew says the ability to be ambidextrous so I can use the either hand that I want, i.e. he wants a dual wield.
Okay.
Ian Francis says armor lock because he knows what the lady's like. Lucas says the ability to have access to a set of Mjolnir that won't break every single bone in my body. Jesse says the ability to carry more than 2 guns. Ben says the ability to physically interact with an AI companions. No particular reason.
Oh boy.
Oh no.
Brad says the ability to stream mission debrief straight into my brain. That's coming one day, Brad.
Yeah,
it's coming.
Yeah, I like that.
Brian,
you get to hear my thoughts at all times.
Just go to Discord.
Brian says the ability to survive from picking up a sniper. Sam says the ability to get up after a heavy night of drinking and be totally fine. We're all nice about that one. Trenton says the ability to get the SR-152.
Oh, Trent.
He's trying. He's Trent. Trying to grind in Halo 5.
Yeah, he's doing it. He's doing
good
it.
Job,
how's
Trent.
How's he doing?
He's contributing.
Good job. Oh, that's Chris's Trent. Everybody say hi, Chris's Trent.
He's like 30.
Hi, Chris's Trent.
Hi, Chris's Trent.
Where is he? Is he like level 40?
Yeah, I know. He's like level 30 right now.
Oh, man, he's catching up to me.
Uh-oh. He's almost better than David.
It's not difficult. You can do it, Trent. You can do it.
All right, Discord.
He's never going to listen to this.
Boo, Trent sucks.
Okay. Okay, Discord time. So, same thing. Matt says the ability to rewind time. Physical Sky says the power to get a girlfriend.
Nice.
UNSC Brexit says the ability to pass No Nut November.
Oh, God.
Luchagor says the ability to dismantle capitalism. UNSC Brexit says the ability to wipe out the weebs and furries off the face of the earth.
All right.
Discord's weird.
Come on.
Luchagor says having the ability to do the grunt headshot party noise every time you nut.
Good Lord.
I'm blue bibdado dida badai says the power to do cock push-ups.
There's a tangent, I think.
Yeah, there is. There's a
Yeah. Min says the ability to not have mental health issues. That should be amazing. To be happy serious. All the time would be great.
That'd be a good
one. Ian says the ability to keep this thread on track.
There we go.
Chloe says shape-shifting, and then Matt and Ian start talking about how it's bad to go off-topic, and that going off-topic in the Mission Debrief channel is not good, and we should stay on topic, and it's like 2 or 3 posts.
Well, then we deleted and they're
a
bunch
off-topic.
Of them.
No, they kept some of them, though.
Anyway.
And then let me pass all of these off-topic posts talking about how they shouldn't be off-topic. Come on, guys. Monk the Fermented Omelet says the ability to consistently get a good night's sleep.
Oh,
Colin, I know that's a good one for you.
Yeah, that's a real good one.
Now you're talking.
Redacted says, I don't care what ability I get. I just hope it's able to freak the hell out of anyone on the street.
What?
UNSC Brexit says the ability to sell Gamer Boy water and not get arrested or sued.
All right.
Rye says, I mean... I'm reading the ones, okay?
God damn it.
this is what the Discord wants, okay?
I'm about to cut Discord out of the community accounts.
Muffin says the ability to get a limited edition Shamrock Shake only available at participating McDonald's restaurants.
That's a good one.
Riker says the ability to play as elites in future Halo games. Right. And now they're off topic again. Why? Redacted says the hitbox, the ability to have all the same hitboxes on every game. And that's about it. Okay. We're done.
Krista, you gotta clean that place up.
I hope you enjoyed this journey. People are laughing hilariously right now, and it's all thanks to me in the Discord, so I don't know what you guys are doing, but...
Boo, Discord sucks.
How dare you? Discord and I are going to start our own podcast with Facebook hookers and blackjack. Forever.
All right, that'll do it.
Facebook is for old people.
Stop. God damn it. I'm ending the show, ending the episode. All right, that'll do it for our debriefing of the Reclaimer mission from Halo 4. On the next episode, we'll be covering Shutdown. Send us your thoughts at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. You can also support the show by visiting Podcast Evolved on Patreon. Until next time.
Get some hot merch.
Evolved.
Evolved.
Evolved. I'm pretty sure the Discord just wants me to say wacky things at this point.
Yeah, for their soundboard. Discord.
I read all replies.